Well, we desire your prayers that the Lord would help us here today. I'm thinking about our experience in the Lord. Hopefully you have an experience in the Lord. But how is it going? How's your experience going? You know, Brother Leslie told us this morning about salvation. Well, salvation is a wonderful thing. Sins forgiven. I remember when the Lord started dealing with my heart. And when I come to the place that I yielded myself to Him and found that place of forgiveness, I'm going to tell you, it's nothing quite like that. And hopefully you've had that experience. But I found out that living for God is more than that. It progresses after that. There's more to living for God than just that initial experience of having your sins forgiven. There's something else that goes on and on and on, and the Lord is to be fresh. The experience is to be a fresh experience, something that is new and continues to be new. And we want that newness. So I'd like to look at a scripture in Psalms, the 33rd chapter. In the third verse it says, "Sing unto him a new song." Well, that is indicating that there's an old song. There's an old song. We've seen, I don't know, I've been around a long time and not near as long as some, but we've sung a lot out of here. A lot of these are old songs, but they're new too. They can be renewed, the meanings, and they're fresh to us and those kind of things. But there's an experience that you can have in the Lord that needs to be refreshing. It needs to be refreshing, more to it, and somewhere else to go with it. The songwriter says, we're not going to keep singing the same old song. We want to sing a new song to you. You know, our life is a song. Well, our life is a song. We're singing from our life, what our life is, and we're singing a song. What is your song? Well, my song used to be praises to the world. Brother Leslie told us this morning. He used to sing a song of the world. He gave the world the credit. He was out there giving the word, and people would look on his life would see him singing the world song. But there come a time Brother Leslie stopped singing the world song, and he started singing God's song. And his life had changed, and all that, and everything was different, and he sung a new song. But you know, we can sing this song of our lives and sing it, and it can get pretty stale after a while. The songwriter said, Lord, I'm going to sing a new song to you. I wonder today, if you'll get my analogy here, I wonder if there's another verse to your song, maybe. I wonder if there's maybe some more verses to your song. Maybe there's more to your experience. You know, every child of God is a minister of the gospel. Now, I want you to get me right, because I don't want to bring any undue guilt to people that's living for the Lord with all their heart. That's not what I'm saying. So don't go away saying, well, I just can't nail this down. But do you know every child of God is a minister of the gospel in some way? There's giftings, but everyone ministers in some way. You know, we've had among us in times past, and I'm sure today even though we people we called prayer warriors, because their ministry seemed to be a ministry of prayer. Whether it was public or private or whatever, these people had a gift, a ministry that they could reach out there and really touch God, and they was fervent and they really put into it. They sang that verse of their song. I wonder if it's today possibly that we have verses that we haven't been singing. We've stopped short of singing our song. And where I get this thought from, I heard recently a story about a great musical composer named Bach. You've probably, most everybody's heard of Bach. Bach was a great musical composer. But they said he had a little personal flaw about him, that he couldn't get out of bed. He stayed in bed. Well, his children found out a way to get Bach out of bed. They would go to the piano and they would start playing. And they'd come up to a certain place and then they would just stop. And it would drive him bonkers. Until he would get up out of bed and come and finish it. Because he would hear that with the expectation, right? I've done this to my family sometimes just to see the reaction. Actually, just several times I've done it. Just be going along and just break out into a song and just sing right up halfway through the verse and stop. Once I got them, I could know they're getting ready to sing along, or they are, and I just stop. And it'd be like, and then they go on. It's hard to stop in the middle of it. You want to go ahead and get, and now if you stop at the end of the verse, everybody's kind of content to let it go many times. But if you stop right in the middle, it's like, come on, let's finish that out. Our life is a song that we're singing. And I can't help from thinking, and take this from my burden, be a pure burden of my heart. As the church goes, as we individually goes, are we singing all the verses of our song? Are we really doing everything that God really intends to give us? There is so much that we could do. There really is for God. There is so much that each individual here can do for God. I wonder if as the blessings of our God has given His people the blessing of song, the ability to sing. Now I want to say this, in worship to God, God doesn't really care how well you sound in the flesh. But probably if you're going to go out and use it as a tool, it probably matters. Because God does give special tools, special ways of touching people, and harmony and music and inspiration with that is a tool. And it can be used. It isn't diminishing us that can't sing well, but it's a gift of those that can sing well. And it was given, and God gives it so that we can touch people, because music does touch people. And there can be inspiration and feelings in it that you can't get any other way. God can use that gift to touch people in a way that nothing else can touch them. And there is many, many people, and young people, get me, there is many people that have the gift of it that maybe they're not singing that verse of their song the way the Lord really would have them to do it. They're not using this part of ministry that God gives everybody. See, there's pulpit ministry. There's different ministries. But there is a ministry for you. You have a ministry. You say, I know, I've heard, I run into a lot of, especially women that had a house full of children that get the feelings like sometimes that they're not doing anything for the Lord. I beg to differ. That you, yeah, that's your ministry. It's a ministry of the Lord. So I'm not bringing any condemnation, but I do want us to realize and have a burden. Lord, help me to sing the next verses of my song. Help me to reach in and find what you would have me to do in life. Do you know there's a possibility that right in your world, well, it is in your world, but right close to you is a ministry that God wants you to do, a part that's going to fulfill you and fulfill those that are around you. And it's right there close to you. It may be someone that the Lord wants you to embrace and pray for and help. It could be somebody that the Lord has put very close to you that the Lord wants you to minister. And right there in that world is the blessing that you long for. Lord, help us to sing a new song unto the Lord. Lord, I've been singing a song with my life. I've tried to sing faithfulness to you. I've tried to sing how much I love you. I've tried to sing this. All these different things. But Lord, is there another verse to my song? Is there something else that you want me to do that I might be able to glorify you? What else is, Lord, there's something else. I want to tell you today, the Lord's got something else, I believe, for us. I've thought many times, Lord, help us in our time. Are we really fervent for God? Are we really seeking God for the purpose of our life? Is the world really so far gone that they don't want to know anything about God? Is it possible that it's there? Is it possible that it's there? Is it possible that the souls are there? Is it possible that the opportunity is there? Is it possible that it's there, but we're not stepping into that to sing that next verse of our song? Where we're at in 2015, are we doing everything that we can? We appreciate everybody that does, but I'm saying, is it possible? Oh, I've wondered before what it'd be like. I guess I'm not trying to put a burden on somebody that I couldn't do myself. But I'm just saying, I seen this one time. I remember going into a hospital one time. We was going to sing, and it was some good singers, and we was going to sing. And I seen it so vividly. We said, well, where can we sing at? We don't want to offend people, and we don't. But we said, well, where we can sing? Well, we went to a waiting room, and it was full of people. And we said, well, that probably wouldn't be good to just go in there and do it. So I said, well, wait a minute. Let's ask them. So I just got everybody's attention and said, hey, we would like to sing some hymns. Would that be okay with you? And yeah, please. Oh, well, we're supposed to have an answer. We don't want to have nothing to do with you people. We don't want to hear what you're singing. Well, that's the way we may think of it, but that's not what they did. They said, well, please, we love it. Here, sing. And so we got in there and we started singing. And I want to tell you, the Lord, it was pretty well impromptu. You know what I mean? It wasn't like we planned this for days or hours. It just was like, let's sing and be inspired. And the Lord started blessing. All right? And then I started seeing tears with people. I started seeing people's mouth. They started being touched. And I was thinking there at the time, what a great moment. What a great moment. Oh, how we love to feel God. See God. See Him work in the hearts of and lives of people. And He was starting to do that. And the Lord was working with this song. But I will say this, I think there was some that maybe it was a little less than that. I was so disappointed, let's just say that. At one point, after about three songs, and people were really being touched and moved, all of a sudden somebody says, whoa, it's hot in here, gotta go get some air. And I was like, oh, no, you're missing it, you're not seeing it, it's right here. And it was gone. Oh, there was some residue left. Some of the people wanted prayer. Some of the people wanted us to go to the rooms of others and have prayer. It was a great way of moving into an area. I wonder if God wouldn't do that more. I wonder if God's not wanting to do that in our lives and around us. If we take our gift in that way and say, Lord, this is what my life consists of. I go through this pattern, and I go to service, and I go through this pattern, I go through camping, I go through this pattern. And Lord, I've been singing that old song for a long time. It's a good old song, isn't it? Isn't that a good old song? We're not saying there's anything wrong with the old song. It just needs some new verses to it. It needs us to put something else to it. It doesn't stop. Salvation doesn't stop with the initial sin. I'm forgiven of my sin experience, but it goes on. We need to go into dedications, sanctification, deep places with God. We need to go into what God intends and has for us to really fulfill our lives and us to really know what God is and what He wants to do with us. And I look sometimes and I seen that moment. Years ago I saw that moment and I wondered how many moments have been lost to us. Because there isn't anybody, I'm saying anybody, but we're not doing it. We're not making that opportunity or having that place that we can say, Lord, I want to step into that. I'm not a pulpit minister, but I'm a singer. You've given me ability to sing a part or sing this or an inspiration. I can do something for the Lord here. You forget. We're around each other so long that we forget the world don't have what we have. They don't have it. And they really want it, or they'll be impressed by it. God can bless it. Lord, help us here in this area. I think sometimes we play our song for the Lord up to a certain place and stop. And then go back and start at the beginning and play up to a certain place in the piece and stop. And then we go and start at the beginning again. And you know, there's a whole other part of this song that needs to be sung. There's a whole lot of other part of this piece that the master, see, Bach was the master. And he wants to play the rest of the song. And so I think the Lord looks down saying, oh, how I'd like to play the rest of your song. If you thought the first part of that song was good, let me play the last part of it. Let you get the whole part of the song. Lord, help us. Look at a scripture with me over in the 19th chapter of Matthew. Sixteenth verse says, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good things shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep thy commandments. He saith unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Been singing a song with my life. Everybody around me knows the verses, the chorus. Everybody knows around me that I'm a devoted man to the things of God. They know that when it comes time to go to worship, I go. They know they needn't expect me to steal. I won't steal. They know that I'm not going to lie. I will not lie. They know those that are around me. I've sung the song so many times to my people around me. They know who I am. They know what to expect of me in life. And this young man had sung his song over his years, and they knew what he was about, no doubt. But the Lord had another verse to the song. The Lord wanted to add the reality to all these things, to this young man's life. You want to talk about pepping it up a little, having something to sing, having something that means something. What do I lack? He said, he know he lacks something. I'd be willing to say that there's people here today that knows that their song needs some more verses to it. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm just saying, there's got to be something else, Lord. What do you want me to do? You remember the scripture? We preach about it quite often. But where the prophet said, here am I, Lord. Send me. I'm ready. I'm ready for another verse. I'm ready for another experience of my life. I know it's going to cost me something. It will cost you something. It always does. It'll cost you something to do it. This young man, the Lord finally says, well, I don't know if it's in this reading, maybe in Luke, but he says, and the Lord loved him. Jesus said unto him, if thou will be perfect. In the other reading, it says, and the Lord loved him. Before he says this. Now, the Lord loves everybody, but there's a meaning to that. It means when the Lord begins to reveal to you, it's in the manner of love. It's a very specific love. God is loving you to allow you to know about himself and to know these kind of things. And the Lord, when he looked at him, he had told him some things here, but now he had allowed him to go into that very deep place in this man, and the Lord was willing to reveal deep truth to him. You know, it's only through love that the Lord does that for you and I. And when we come to that place of really wanting it with all of our heart, do you know the Lord will reveal it to us? The Lord isn't going to withhold the good things from our lives. He didn't withhold it from him. So the Lord tells him here, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. And come and follow me. Oh, this is a different song now. Been singing a song, but now he could have truly said, this man truly could have quoted from the 33rd Psalm and said, oh Lord, I sing a new song unto you. I'm going to sing one of depths now. I'm going to sing one of commitment. I'm going to sing a song of being sold out for God and God being my everything. That's what these verses sound like. But you know, this man went away content to go on saying, you think this man quit living the way he lived all his life? No, I doubt. He went away sorrowful, though. It's going to cost him something to sing this song a little different. It might cost you the things that you're hung up on. For everything we do, it takes time. You know what Adam Clark said our greatest commodity was? Time. We spend it. You ever think about that? We use the word we spend. You got an allotment, an allowance from God of time. And you spend it. And you may say some night, well, I think I'll spend a couple hours. Spend. I'm going to spend. Just like you do money, I'm going to spend a couple hours watching a movie. And you'll spend that section of your life. It'll be gone. And you'll give it away for frivolous things. You'll do that. But this is going to, the Lord wants you to spend your time wisely. We only got a certain amount of time and it's quickly going. I'm spending mine. Lord, help us to use our time to sing a new song to the Lord. Lord, I need to sing a new song to you. Add some verses to this old song. Give me a new song to sing, something else that I can say or do. This says of this man, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And now he's weighing out the ideas here, and we'll have to weigh out the ideas here of what we're going to do. I don't think there's anything wrong with this technological age. But I want to warn you about something. It's consuming us. It is consuming us. We stopped at a Cracker Barrel recently, and I pointed out to Linda, look at this. There was a couple sitting over here, a young man and woman. She was on her gadget, and he was on his. They wasn't even talking or making eye contact. We looked over at a table of elderly women, and they're all over there doing different stuff. I looked at all these different places and everybody is totally disengaged with one another, engaged in this stuff, and it's consuming. You're spending your time with this. It may be you can do things for the Lord. I know that, but I want to warn you about something. It is consuming. It's very consuming. I see the world being totally consumed by it. They're singing their song. They're singing the song. Lord, help us to sing our song. Lord, what do you want me to do or be with my life? Help me. I know that the world's pressing around. I feel what Brother Dan feels. I feel it quite a bit. Indifference, lethargy, the serious spiritual indifference that creeps among us through because of these things. But Lord, help us to have a song that we can sing with enthusiasm. And seeing in this time world that we've still got the best thing the world has to offer. We still have the truth. We still have the gospel. We don't have to shy away or back down. We still have the best. Lord, help us to believe it and be willing to get out there and do what the Lord wants us to do. Because I'm afraid sometimes that we've been slack in being willing. We're caught up and not willing to sing. You say, well, where's my audience, Brother Marty? I'll sing if I have an audience. You sing and see if there's an audience. Reach out and see if somebody wants to read it. Advertisers aren't afraid of it. See billboards all the time with their stuff on it. People driving by, right? In hopes of what? That they'll read it. That it'll make a difference to them. We have an opportunity, our time. But what's the most important thing to us in our lives? What are we wanting? What do we want to see more than anything else? Well, if I can just be comfortable. Or if I can have my way of life, I can mix God in with the rest of us. That's not the way the story is, and it's not the way the song is sung. You can't sing this song that way. You know, in our book, the song has different tempos. There's certain, you sing some fast, you sing some slow. You do this, there's a certain way to sing it. If you don't sing it right, it really isn't the way it's supposed to be. You know, you can take some of these. I actually seen this done one time. You take some of these songs that's meant, they're meant to be very stirring. And the very music of the song has a dread in it. It'll touch you that way. But if you're not really in tune with that, you can sing that song. And I actually seen one of those songs done that way. It's supposed to be a very serious type song. And the ones that were singing it didn't have it right, and they done it more in a it was actually, it reminded me of either an ice cream truck or a carnival sound. That was hardly going to bring any conviction to anybody. It made you want to bounce along in a light mood. You see what I'm saying? There is a way to present the things that we're singing. We have a song to sing. Are we singing it the way the Lord wants the song to be sung? Or is the world looking and saying they mean what they do? They know what they do and they mean what they do. And it's the most important thing in life to them. Or is there certain parts of the music being said that I don't even recognize what that is? I can't get the feeling because part of it seems very, very solemn and the other sounds like a carnival tune. You see what I'm saying? Lord, help us to sing our song of life, that the Lord wants us to sing something new and fresh, and that the world can get hold of it, that is exciting. To the flesh, no, but there's something there to my soul. There's something there that's bigger than all the rest of this, and there's a difference here. The truth, the truth does fight wrong. It's in competition with wrong. The truth's in competition with all fallacy. But what does it take to win? It takes the spirit of truth. It takes us meaning it and having it in our hearts. Lord, help us. Another scripture in the 25th chapter, Matthew. Very familiar scripture. I'll start, about 14th verse maybe. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents. To another 2, and another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Now, you read this passage, and you're going to find out that as trivial as this seems to sound in our human thinking, that God was highly displeased with the account of the man that got 1 talent. It wasn't to be taken lightly. It was a very serious thing to God. And this is a very serious passage of Scripture. Because I think there's a lot of talents hid, dug into the earth and hid. I think there is a lot of abilities. I think there's a lot of verses yet to the songs to sing. I think there's a lot that the Lord wants to do. And He's entrusted people with those things to do. And it's up to us what we're going to do with them. The one that had one, of course, was not responsible for five. He was responsible for one. If you have three, you'd be responsible three and so on. But I'm going to say this today. Everybody's got a ministry in the gospel. Everyone's got a talent, and you have one too today. You're here today, you have a talent. You have the potential. See, this is actually talking about money. The talent was money. And in the world, money is opportunity. Anybody that's going to do anything is going to find out, you're going to start a business, it's going to take money. There's no other way around it. It's going to take some trading ability, some financial, but it's going to take some money. And this is what he said. This is the analogy. Everybody has that, which they need to have to start it, to get it going. Everybody has it. To perform, to be able to get something. Everybody has it. To be able to have the ability for the Holy Ghost to witness in your life, to do something in your life. You have something in your life that God can inspire. And that's all he needs. All he needs is an area. It doesn't have to be any bigger than a slice of bread or a part of a fish. He just needs something to bless. And he gave you that entrusted to you that he wants to put his spirit on. And bless it to increase. Bless it to your ability to minister the gospel in your world. Through prayer, through testimony, through holy living, through a gift in you. Sing your song. You have a song. Sing. Sing your song. Don't hide your talent like this one did. It says that he took it and he hid it. And why did he hide it? Where the other ones went ahead and done it. Why did he hide it? Fear. Fear. Well, the one that was entrusted with five is so much more capable than I am. I'm a living proof that that doesn't matter. At least for trying. Because it isn't about being capable. It's about giving what you have to the Lord and being willing to allow your gift to be blessed of the Lord. Because the Lord will bless it. So I'm afraid that in this world of comparing, I'm going to be compared to somebody that don't have much to offer. You have as much as the Lord gives you. To one, he gave five. The Lord gave him five. When he didn't give me five, well, I'm not responsible then for five. But I'm responsible for something. And you're responsible for something. And you know, I have a vision in my heart sometimes of a church, God's church, and a vision of the increase, not only of people, but the increase to every individual, the increase of what their faith in God, the increase of what we're willing to do. I'd like to see. Maybe I'm out of time. Maybe I'm out of sync here. But I'd like to see some of the gift of this singing that the Lord given. I'd like to see it sing to the world. On a street corner, convalescent home, hospital rooms. I'm going to tell you right now, I've been there, and you would be amazed at how receptive people are when they're in trouble to the soothing sound of the saints singing, and how much opportunity it gives to present the gospel once it's done. It's amazing. It can be accomplished everywhere. It takes something to do it. What if we fail? Brother Dan, have you ever thought about failing? Preaching, I mean, doing something for the Lord and failing? Well, I don't guess I've cornered that market then. But sure, it's always the idea that, Lord, I'm going to need you. Please help, because if you don't, it's sure going to be embarrassing for me to try and fail. It's worth it, though. There is still souls that need to be saved. There's our own soul that needs to be saved. Lord, help us to keep singing, testifying, and using our gifts until the end of this thing comes. If nothing for anything else, that I might feel the inspiration of God on my own soul as I do it. But Lord, help us to be willing to do it. When you've experienced life, folks, let me give you a little illustration. I've used it a couple times. Until you experience life, no matter what you think about it or how well versed you are at it, until you experience, you don't quite get it like you would if you'd experienced it. Understand what I'm saying? I've run into this scenario before, and I know you can understand so, and you can learn and have things, but I'm going to tell you. I used to think that I knew how children ought to be raised. I was what you may have said was an expert before I had children. Now, I'd never claim to be one now. I've had nine. I wouldn't claim it now. But before I ever had any, I may have claimed to be one. But, you know, after I had children, I found out something. There were certain things that I didn't know to put in the equation. I only looked at things the way they were and didn't know what wasn't. And after I became a parent, I learned what wasn't as a reality. Okay? So now my child may be acting up, and before I may have been a strict disciplinarian, but I didn't have the ability to put in fatherly mercy because I didn't have any. Understand what I'm saying? I couldn't put the equation in there as a father pitieth his son because I didn't have any sons. It was only thinking. After I had sons, then I looked and saw the grief of their life. I saw hours on the road in a van. I saw them, why they've been like this. And there was a certain amount of pity that was put in the equation. Now when I put the line to get the answer wasn't what I always thought it was. Because I hadn't experienced it. I wasn't able to put everything in the equation. We was in the Osho a while back, and we was down at the park, and one of the children or somebody said, oh, they come running to me is what it was, and said, Mom, what's your wallet? We hear the ice cream truck coming. We want to go get ice cream. And I said, oh, well, I want ice cream too. So we went over to the ice cream truck. They pulled up there, and they was getting their different ice cream. And this little girl comes up there, just a little girl, and she's standing there like this, waiting for that. And I looked at this little ragtag of a little girl, and I know what she was thinking and wanting. And I said, you want some ice cream? I said, do you have any money? Now, there's a reason I said that. Because my mind had went back 45 years to when I was about her age. And where I went to school, they had this little ice cream store. And at noontime, you could go there and you could buy, they had these popsicles, and for a dime, you could get both sticks, or they'd break them for a nickel, or you could buy an ice cream bar or whatever that. And I never had a nickel. Rarely did I ever have a nickel. So when I looked at that little girl standing there, I'd have just about bought her that truck. Because I knew what it was like to see a line getting the ice cream. I couldn't get any. And when I looked at this little ragtag, I thought, I'm going to buy her something if she's just here for that. Now, I did that in Wichita one time, and it ended up costing me $37 before I got out of there because they kept coming. But that's all right. But I'm going to tell you, do you know why I felt that way? Because I had an experience in my life that made me feel that way. And until you feel something, experience it, you don't know how to give it out. We need to sing the next verse of our songs. We need to have the experiences to be able to say to those when they say, listen, I need some advice. I'm hung up and I don't know what else to do to the Lord. What should I do? I'll tell you what you can do. I can tell you now because I've been able to do it. I can tell you what you need. I have an experience with the Lord. I can encourage you now to tell you that the Lord loves you and He's going to help you. Because I've been there in that. We all need the next verses of our song. Lord, help us. This is the rest of the scripture. It says, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. That ought to bring a fear to our heart. After a long time. You had a long time yet? What is a long time? It's kind of a relative idea, but a long time. But the Lord's going to come back and reckon. One day, with all of this, He'll come reckon. It says, and so, he that had received 5 talents. Oh, I can imagine how this one that received 5 talents, I can imagine how he come, had a full song to sing. When the Lord came and said, I want to hear your song. He was able to sing a full life song all the way down. Lord, you brought me here to this time and I did this. And then, Lord, here in my life, you brought this other events into my life. And, oh, they was a blessing. And here's the song that it was made from that. And he sung a good song because he had been faithful. And the one that had 2, he said the one that had 5, gained 5 more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew. Lord, help us today. Don't you really know? Is there something down in your heart today to say, I think the Lord's worth more than I've been giving Him? I think the cause of God is worth more than my life sings out. I knew. You said this guy, he knew. I knew thee that thou was a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast done that is thine. The Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him that, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath it shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away, even that which he has. I believe there is a course in life and living for the Lord. I feel like I've seen it in my own life. I feel like there's a time of being faithfulness where the Lord says, this young brother can't handle no more than this. I'll give him this. For his encouragement, for his blessing, I'll give him this. And if he's faithful with that, then I can entrust another. And you may say, I started out as a 1-talent Christian. I'm not a 1-talent Christian anymore. I've got 10. The Lord has entrusted and He's taught me and brought me to this place that I have done that. And it's no praise or glory to our flesh that we've ever done it, but it's God was able to do it. God, you may say, well, there's one talent. Maybe they are one talent, but maybe in the course of time, the Lord wants to bring many, many talents, their ways to bless and be an encouragement and to help everybody around them. The last of this says, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Everyone has a ministry, a song to sing. There was a woman in the Bible who's considered the widow woman. I don't know that it says anything else about her. But there come a time that they was giving of their alms, their giving of their, and this woman sang a beautiful verse that has spoken to the ages. She took her two mites and she went and put it in. And the Lord said, she gives more than them all. With a little verse of song that goes down through the ages, we understand the better portion of giving. The better way. Because of that act. There was another woman in the Bible that was an outcast. She was a down and outer. And she brought some oil to the Lord one time. You remember that? And against popular thought, cultural thought, against what the apostles thought, everybody thinks, all humanity is going to think this bad probably. But against all that, this woman comes and breaks it open and anoints the Lord. And the disciples looking on said, what a waste. That could have been sold and give to the poor. But the Lord didn't say it about her verse of song that she sung. And it goes down through the ages about what's important. You know what's important first in life? We could get a lot out of this. It isn't of the treasure that you hold in your hands or the value of it. It isn't even our first things. It isn't even our outreach to those that are in need. We minister unto the Lord. The principle's there, and this woman sung it with her life. That was her verse that she sung. And it goes down through the ages as something that was so valuable to us. You know, I think of another man in the Bible, Jesus on the cross and two thieves on the side, and they both sang their last verse. And one's was an ugly tune. Oh, if you're the Son of God, get us down out of here. You've made yourself to be somebody, and you're hanging here on this cross with us. And the other one says, how can you speak like that? We're thieves. We're murderers. We're criminals. This man has done nothing. Lord, remember me. Oh, I'm going to tell you, the last thing that he ever said, what beauty of repentance and forgiveness was found in just a few words of importance that was given and ministered to the ages. And Lord, help us in our time. You today, no matter who you are, have a ministry in the gospel. Seek the Lord for it. Find it. Allow the Lord to add to our life song. I got another verse now to sing. I'll tell you, it'll liven up your Wednesday night services. It'll liven up the camp meetings. It'll be a barrier against what the devil can do against us. It'll defeat the devil, and it'll give those looking on a reason to think that there's hope here. Because we will be singing a song of hope, of deliverance, and of help in our lives. I think when we stop short of what the Lord wants, that we show, that we sing out there a haphazard, indifferent way of living that isn't really very appealing. But when we go on to the fullness, what is the song says? Something about Jesus makes me complete, or I'm complete in his love, or something like that. Being totally complete and saying every verse and every chorus of every song. And then the master, I'm going to tell you, when you don't sing it, the Lord wants to come and play the rest of it. He wants the whole song to be sung so that we can be blessed. You pray for me.